Lord God, we're thankful for the Sabbath. We're thankful for the start of school. We're thankful for the cooler weather. We're thankful for your promises. And so we ask, Lord Jesus, as we look at this well-known story this morning, that you would guide our thoughts, that we would apply these principles to our lives, that you would be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was looking over the schedule, I noticed it had been a month since we've been at talking about our stand sermon series. 2 weeks ago, we had communion, and then we had ASI and all sorts of things, but it's been a month since we've been looking at the story of Daniel as we started at the beginning of the summer, which seems like so long ago. But here we are again, continuing this. If you remember that long ago, we looked at Daniel chapter 1 first, how Daniel stood out and how he was different than the crowd. He didn't blend in, and he chose and asked for a separate diet, a different diet, one that was not offered to idols, one that was not full of unhealthful meat products that were not good for his body. And we looked at how he stood out and was different in that way. And we looked at the following week in our second segment, we looked at how he stood up. And he confronted with compassion the king, Nebuchadnezzar, when he had his time when Nebuchadnezzar went mad and became like an animal. And we looked at how we can confront with compassion as well. And now this morning we're continuing. We're going to continue today and we'll finish next week. But today we're going to continue with Stand Strong. And this is a classic story from the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. It's something that you see in the kindergarten room, in the primary room. It's on the felt boards next to Noah's Ark. This is Daniel in the lion's den. Very well-known story. We know pretty much how the details roll. But many times when we talk about Daniel in the lion's den, we kind of make it appropriate for the kids. And we talk about how these lions were like big cats. And they're cuddly. And they had big soft manes. But let me tell you, that's not reality. Because lions are some ferocious creatures. They're the king of the African Sahara. And they're not pretty. Well, they are pretty, okay? UCA Lions, that's our mascot, right? They're pretty, so they better be pretty, right? But they're not cuddly. Maybe you've seen some of the videos online of the man who has adopted lions. And when he goes to see the lions, they pounce upon him. But they don't attack him. They actually give him a big lion hug. Not a bear hug, a lion hug. Right? Recently, my family's been watching various nature videos. We especially like the ones that have been narrated by David Attenborough. The British narrator. He's 89 years old and he's still narrating nature videos. You'd think he'd be done by now, but no, he still does it. But I was talking with Kyle about this just yesterday. We love watching these things, and I like them because there's not a lot of quick scene changes, and so it's good for my kids so they don't develop ADD or something. But we're watching these ones. Recently we watched ones, our favorite ones is on eagles, watching the soaring eagles fly. We like watching the humpback whales one. That one was pretty neat. Recently we saw wolves, how they hunt in packs and this kind of stuff. And I've actually not seen the ones, we haven't looked at the ones with the lions. Because one thing, I don't want my kids to be afraid of lions. Because I've seen the ones of lions before, and cheetahs and big cats, and the way that they attack their prey and they hunt their prey and they pull down their prey and they just rip into their prey, it can be quite frightening to little kids. And, oh, that poor little antelope just got eaten by a lion. Because the reality is, lions are big animals, and they're ferocious. And so many times when we talk about Daniel in the lion's den, we can kind of downplay the severity of the situation. But it's a classic story, and It's well known, and this morning I'd like to bring a little context into the story of Daniel. I'd like to share three truths that can apply to our lives on standing strong in the face of opposition. Three truths, and you can take notes if you want. I didn't have a sermon outline to give you this morning. Take notes if you want on a separate piece of paper. Three truths on standing strong. Now we know in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is now an older gentleman. He's about 80 years old. So he's starting to get that white hair. He's starting to get that wisdom about himself. And he's serving under the rule of King Darius, another king, not Nebuchadnezzar anymore, not Belteshazzar, but now it's King Darius. So we'll open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 6, and we'll see how well Darius actually was a great administrator for his kingdom. He had this amazing mind of organizing his kingdom in such a way that all of the power didn't reside in him and all the stress and the details of the kingdom, but he had several governors and several segments of his organization, of his kingdom. So we look at this in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, or rulers, to be over the whole kingdom. And over these satraps, he set three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was given in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So Daniel was one of these three top officials. And he was the one there, he was like a major auditor, but he was the one probably could have been writing the checks, making sure that the treasury was well, making sure that the kingdom suffered no loss, making sure that the battlefront of the line was well, if there was a battle going on maybe. He was in charge of a lot of things. And Darius thought about it. He didn't make it certain yet, but he thought about it, and he said, Daniel is very good. I think I'm about ready to set him second in rule in the kingdom, probably. Set him over all of the governors, all of the satraps, all of the rulers in the kingdom. Sounds like a pretty good promotion, huh? Here you are, a captive Jew. The new kingdom rolls in and recognizes that you're doing pretty good. Big promotion. But the problem was, the big promotion brought trouble to Daniel. Because there was other rulers, the other governors, that got a little bit jealous. The first truth to standing strong is a truth of expectation, understanding this point. When, here it is, if you're going to take notes. When God raises you up, expect people to tear you down. When God raises you up, expect people to tear you down. It's a thing of expectation. If we expect it, we won't get so discouraged. This is what is also known as the crab syndrome. I don't know how, a lot of us probably don't go crabbing because we don't go eat crabs and we don't live by the ocean. But if you have a bucket of crabs and one says, I'm going to get out of this bucket, and he starts to climb out of the bucket, what do all the other crabs do? They bring him down. It's this idea, if I can't have it, neither can you. That's the crab syndrome. And so I don't know what this first truth may look like in your life, whereas God raises you up, other people try to bring you down. Maybe it's a promotion. Maybe it's a good grade on a test. Maybe it's something that's positive in your life, and other people that are around you who should be rejoicing with you, they just say, that's coincidence. They bring you down, and they don't support you. Or maybe you're getting real excited about your walk with Jesus and you're excited about your faith in Jesus. And there's other Christians around that'll say, well, just wait, give it time and you'll be an unhappy Christian like me. It's unfortunate, but it happens, doesn't it? We get set in our ways and we don't get excited about Christ anymore. But the thing is, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against principalities and darkness. And so the people who bring us down, they're well-meaning people, probably. But the prince of darkness could very well be using them to bring you down, to get you discouraged, to try to get your sights off of Christ. And this plays out exactly in Daniel's story. Exactly in this way. Daniel chapter 6, continue with verse 4. So the governors and satraps, they sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. And so these men, they devised a plan. And they said, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. These men have this plan to attack Daniel. Opposition brought against him. Now, pause a moment. A little bit of a side note, a little bit of a tangent we're going here for a moment. But in our Christian walk, do not buy into the idea that once you decide for Jesus, everything's going to be perfect. And I think most, a lot of us here can relate to that. Because sometimes there's this idea that I trust my way to God, I live my life for God, I pray to Him, I ask for His support, I ask for His protection, and my life's going to be peachy. It's going to be great. But friends, that is not reality. That is not what happens in this world of sin. We live in a world of sin where things are going to happen, even to the people of God. And so if we buy into this mentality that everything's going to be great, when something does happen, we say, where was God? He wasn't there for me, so I'm not going to be there for Him. Don't buy into that, because that is not true life. Daniel was following God. He was someone who was committed to God. There was no errors found in him. His enemies couldn't find any errors, and yet they brought about this opposition, this attack against him. Remember, when we are giving glory to God with our lives, expect that opposition will come. The enemy wants to discourage us. And so here's the thing you can worry about. Don't worry about if opposition is going to come. Worry about if there is no opposition. Because then you're thinking, am I really being effective for God? Satan doesn't think I need to be brought down. So he'll just let me bump along life, go with the flow. No, Daniel stood out, didn't he? Daniel was different than the rest of the crowd, and he had opposition against him. So these other governors, other rulers, they went to King Darius and they buttered him up. They flattered him. Oh, king, live forever. Oh, king, that robe you got? Oh, that must have come from the sheiks of La La Land. Oh, king, did you get a new hairstyle? Oh, that is so good looking. They buttered him up. I don't know how they buttered him up, but they went to him and they said, king, you're the best king of the world, and you should continue to be the best king of the world. And kings in those times, and even rulers today, I am kind of like a god. Yeah, no one can touch me. Look at my kingdom. It's huge. It's great. And they buttered him up and they said, king, this is what we want you to do. We want you to make this decree that nobody should pray to you, nobody should pray to anyone except for you for 30 days. And the king says, yeah, that sounds good. Anybody who prays to someone other than me is going to be the lion's lunch. I like that idea. Ultimate authority right here, yeah. So he makes that into law, signs it, stamps it. Problem for Daniel is that Daniel is a man of prayer. Daniel is someone who prays to God in heaven. And when I think about this, I wonder, for us today, if somebody made a decree today that says we could not pray to anyone except for the President of the United States or the Governor of Spokane, would that be a problem for us? Are we people of prayer? Would it be an issue if someone said, you have to worship on this certain day in this certain church at this certain time, otherwise we're going to take your house? Would that be an issue? Think about it in your own life. And so Daniel got this as a decree, and I see three responses that he can give. Number one, he could stop praying. He could say, you know what, God, I've been 80 years your servant. And you know what? 30 days, let's take a sabbatical for 30 days. Sabbatical, that's biblical, right? So let's take a sabbatical for 30 days, and I'll just, you know, come back after 30 days, after the decree's over. He could stop praying. Secondly, but the thing is, why stop praying when that's what he needed to do the most right now? Secondly, he could have said, this would be a good time to use the counsel that Jesus gives and pray in my closet. Avoid it. Fake it. Not really say it. And he could do that. How many times do you go to the restaurant and just look down in your lap and think in your mind, thank you, God, and not want to be noticed that you're praying for your meal? To be different. I could not open my window, right? Just hide behind my window. Second option. Third option, continue to pray publicly. Continue to seek God and to have trust and faith in God. And this is what he did. His faith was strong in God. And this showed the kind of character that Daniel had. He was strong. He stood strong in opposition. And he was the same in difficulty as he was in a life of ease. When opposition comes to your life and my life, it shows us who we really are. Because you are the same now if your life is at ease as you will be in opposition. And so Daniel prayed. He couldn't stop because he needed to pray now. And I wonder, where did this amazing, radical faith come from? Well, we can read the text, and this is our second truth from Daniel chapter 6. The second truth of standing strong is kneeling to pray is what gives you the strength to stand. Kneeling to pray is what gives you the strength to stand. Look at verse 10, Daniel chapter 6. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and he cried on his bed. Does it say that? No. He went home and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees. Read it, church. What does it say? Three times that day. Which day? That day. The same day that the decree was signed. He went back to his home. He had already known what he was going to do. Knelt down three times and prayed and gave thanks before his God as what? As was his custom. Something that he regularly did, as his habit was, as his custom was since early days. It was his habit that superseded the earthly decree to stop praying. It was his habit. Not his last-ditch effort, but it was his habit. Too often, we might try everything under the sun and then pray. When we're in a difficult situation, we try to work our way, right? We try to rearrange our schedule. We try to manipulate. We try to change things. We try to do what we can. And then our language deceives us and we say, well, all we have left to do now is pray. I've tried everything else. All I can do now is pray. When maybe prayer should be our first resort, right? Not our last resort. Remember, in times of difficulty, we are the same as we are in times of ease. If you are not praying right now in times of ease, will you be praying in times of difficulty? The truth of the matter is, all that we can do is pray. All that we can do is pray. All of our human efforts to make sure that our lives are ready before the storm comes are good. But as we're doing that preparation, yes, prepare for the storm, but as we're doing that, we must pray because all of our human efforts are futile without the strength of God. That should not be our last resort because, yes, we can pray. And because Daniel had this habit that superseded that king's decree, he went to his upper room, faced certain mauling, and he prayed. He knew the consequence, but he was a man of conviction. He was a man of predetermined values and predetermined actions. If you remember back to week one, we talked about Daniel chapter one. He had predetermined in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's food. So he requested a special diet. And here we see again in Daniel chapter six that he is a man who had predetermined in his heart somewhere, we don't know where in his life, that he was going to always seek his God no matter what. Come hell or high water, he was always going to connect with God. Didn't matter for king's decree. And what made him strong in that, in the face of that opposition, was his posture. By kneeling, we can be strong. From the little book, Education, Ellen White says this. I've quoted it a couple times in this series. I told you I'm going to quote it again. You can probably recite it by now. Page 57, the greatest want of the world is the want of men. She's referring now to the Daniel story. The want of men who will not be bought or sold, men who in their inmost souls are true and honest, men who do not fear to call sin by its right name, men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole, and men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. Daniel was someone who stood for the right though the heavens fall. He was certain on his values. And he was not going to let some earthly ruler, some other human entity, change the way that he lived his life for God. He could stand strong because he predetermined in his heart that he needed to connect with God no matter what. And ladies and gentlemen, this is something that our hearts yearn for. Connection with God. We need that. Our bodies are created for connection with God. But the problem is, our world is so filled with so many other tantalizing, exciting things out there that we fill that void where God goes with something else. And sometimes they're good things. Parenting, it's a good thing. Be there for your kids. Don't forget about God. And so because we learn from the life of Daniel, we see how he had a plan set in motion, that he would not change from his plan no matter what came. We need to have a plan on how to connect with God. And we need to predetermine in our hearts that we are going to connect with God. And when we connect, we open the scriptures. We read his word. We interact with him. We focus on God. And we pray. Daniel prayed. Daniel's posture was important too. What did he do in verse 10? It says, Daniel stood in his window and prayed. Is that what it says? What does it say? It says, Daniel knelt. Daniel could stand before men because he had knelt before God. And my friends, don't ever underestimate your posture in prayer either. Yes, God will hear us as we're driving down the road. God will hear us as we're walking down the street, down the sidewalk. God will hear us as we're standing in our classroom. God, I don't know how to get these kids in order. God will hear us in every situation. But when we have the opportunity, we have the chance, my friends, practice the posture of kneeling because it puts your heart in the right frame of mind. Kneeling shows humility. It shows reverence. Your head is down. It shows God that he is sovereign and that you are his servant. And this is what Daniel did. He knelt before God so that he could stand before men. By kneeling, we can stand strong in the face of opposition. Daniel did this. And he faced the consequences. In our lives, we will face opposition if we haven't already. We will face difficulties. We will face trials. Hopefully those trials, though, are not a literal lion's den. Most likely not. They're the proverbial lion's den because we don't live in a society that's going to throw us to a bunch of hairy beasts. Unless there's Sasquatch wandering the hills somewhere. But I don't know what your situation is going to be. I don't know what your opposition is. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's a coworker who's opposing you. Maybe teachers. Maybe it's a student who's opposing you. Students, maybe it's a friend or a teacher that's opposing you. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's that stranger on the road. You got to be careful with those because road rage is no fun. Opposing you, opposition. But the way to stand strong is not by standing at all, but approaching the situation on your knees, being connected with Jesus. And then the question is this always going to work out in my favor? And the answer that I have for you is not always. Because in the situation of Daniel, he was cast to the lion's den. I can't guarantee that it's always going to work out the best for your situation. This is not no fairy tale Disney Frozen story. This is real life with real people, with real issues, with real feelings, with real hurts. And we have a real adversary who hates God's people. So he's going to do whatever he can to get us distracted from God, to get us to turn and to stop connecting with Jesus. But I can promise you this. I can't promise you perfect life in this world. God doesn't promise you that. He says, take heart. I have overcome the world. You will have troubles, but I have overcome the world. I can promise you this. And this brings us to our third truth from Daniel chapter 6. And that is when you choose and you do what is right, you can always trust God with the results. When you choose to do what is right, you can always trust God with the results. It's the decision that Daniel made. He didn't know in the middle of his story in verse 10 what the result was going to be in verse 22. All that he knew is that he was going to be faithful to God because God had been faithful to him. And he could always trust his God with the results. He didn't know that for centuries on end, he was going to be printed on felts and put in the primary room. But he knew that he could trust God no matter what. Verse 12, after the men, the other governors saw Daniel praying, kneeling and praying to Jerusalem. They went before the king, verse 12, and concerning the king's decree, and they said, "Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" So come on, king, that's what you said. And the king answered and said, "This thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter." And of course the men said, "Well, this Daniel, he's praying to his God." And the king realized what had happened, how he had been tricked and played by his other trusted governors. And he tried all the rest of that day to get Daniel out of the situation, but as the rule stated, the law of the Medes and the Persians does not change. I grew up in the house of a preacher. And many times when my dad made a rule, he said, "Dad's rule is just like the laws of the Medes and the Persians." And we said, "What?" He said, "It does not change." We're like, "Oh, here we go again." But that was fact. Darius tried to do all that he could to get Daniel out of that situation, but he couldn't do it. And so he finally said, "Daniel, you gotta go." He's cast into the den of lions. Seals the tomb with his seal so that no one could get in, no one could get out. Darius spent the rest of the night restless. Could not eat, didn't want any entertainment, couldn't sleep hardly. At first light, he went over to the den of the lions, and there he calls out in verse 20. He came to the den in verse 20. He said it with a lamenting voice. He's struggling here. "Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Darius recognized God's spirit in Daniel. He recognized, "I've seen you work. I've seen you trust in your God, and you serve him continually. Has he been able to rescue you from the lions?" In verse 21, then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." And he goes on and he says, now the Bible says, "Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him." Why? Because he believed in his God. Because he believed in his God. Now, we don't know what happened in the den that night. We don't know if the angel was there and set up an invisible fence around Daniel. We don't know if Daniel maybe cuddled up to the kitties and, "Oh, nice kitty, yes. Oh, you're so soft." He slept on the lions. We don't know exactly what happened, but Daniel says that God shut the lions' mouths. And friends, I believe this story is a true, literal, historical story that shows the power of God and the example of faith that Daniel has. Many people will say some of these Old Testament stories, they're just parables, they're allegories, they're symbols, they're symbolic. I believe this one's true. And as well as pretty as the rest of the Bible too. And I believe that we can learn from Daniel's example that when we do right, we can trust God with the results. Now, there's a group of guys that didn't do right. The governors that didn't like Daniel very well. They were jealous of Daniel. And so the king ordered the governors and the other ones who were against Daniel, and the Bible says, and their families. Do we put that in the primary lesson? And their children. And all of them go into the lion's den. And the angel that was guarding the lion said, "My time's up. Time for me to take a break." And God did not protect them because they had spoken wrongly against God's righteous. And then Darius overrides the decree of worshiping only him, and he says that the rest of the nation should worship Daniel's God, who rescues and who saves. Don't you love the story of Daniel? I love the story of Daniel and the lions. It's so filled with animation. It's filled with amazing things that God has done. And my friends, remember these three truths that we can gather from Daniel in the lion's den. Remember and expect that when God raises you up, there's going to be people, there's going to be situations that will try and pull you down. It's a fact of life. Remember that. Remember your posture, that by kneeling to pray gives you the strength to stand. And set some time aside. Maybe you're feeling convicted about your walk with God, your worship time with God. Set some of that time aside. Predetermine what you're going to do. Make a plan of how you're going to connect with God and honor God. Do what's right and trust Him with the results. My prayer is that each one of us can stand strong in the face of adversity with the faith of Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we have looked at this well-known story of Daniel and how you saved him from the den of the lions, it's my prayer that we will gather from it points that we can apply our lives to. May we trust in you. May we have faith in you. May we stand strong. And when adversity comes, when opposition arises, when difficulties happen, may we not blame you, but may we partner with you as you pull us through those situations. Go with us on this Sabbath. Guide and direct is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.